Welcome to the Lean Blog Podcast. Visit our website at www.leanblog.org. Now, here's your host, Mark Graben.
Hi, this is Mark Graben. This is episode number 54 of the Lean Blog Podcast for December 2nd, 2008. Very happy to have as our guest today Dr. John Toussaint, the CEO Emeritus of ThetaCare Health System and currently the CEO of the ThetaCare Center for Healthcare Value. Dr. Toussaint is very well known for his leadership of lean efforts in ThetaCare, done under the heading of the ThetaCare Improvement System. They've been profiled in the Wall Street Journal and many other articles about the really outstanding quality and cost improvements that they've achieved in their years of implementing lean. This is the first of two podcast discussions that we recorded a few weeks back. In this episode, Dr. Toussaint talks about ThetaCare's accomplishments, reflects on the lean journey, and shares advice for other hospitals. So I hope you'll come back for part two of our discussion in a few weeks. Thanks for listening. Well, again, I would like to welcome Dr. John Toussaint from the ThetaCare Center for Healthcare Value. Thanks for joining us on the Lean Blog Podcast.
Thank you.
I think listeners and readers of the blog have been exposed to some of the history and the ThetaCare story with Lean and the ThetaCare Improvement System. I was wondering if you could start by telling us a little bit about, looking back, what the overall impact of the ThetaCare Improvement System has been in terms of, results and improvements that you and the hospital are most proud of.
Well, I think there have just been a huge number of improvements. It's hard to say that there's any one of them that we're most proud of. I mean, when you look at our inpatient care process called collaborative care, we've had zero medication errors for the last 19 months. But then you go into the ICU, and we've had no ventilator-associated pneumonias at Appleton Medical Center for the last 14 months. Mortality rates in heart surgery have dropped dramatically. We were at 0.5% last year, 2007, which is significantly better than the STS benchmark. And the costs are coming down. We've taken about $25 million out of the cost structure at ThetaCare, improved our operating margin by about twice what we compared to when we started. So, it's just sort of everywhere. There's significant improvements. Are there a lot of improvements that need to be made? Yeah, you bet. But the reality is there are a lot of things that are improving.
And how does the collaborative care model fit in with lean thinking? How does that contribute to the improvements that you've made?
Well, we didn't start our inpatient redesign until about 4 years into the lean journey. At that point, we had enough understanding of the philosophies and tools of lean to really be able to radically or revolutionarily change our inpatient model. So we actually took an old wing of the hospital and sort of blew it up and rebuilt it in the new inpatient care process. By so doing, we changed all of the roles and responsibilities of the individuals and changed the process owner. The nurse is now the process owner in the collaborative care unit, and it's quite interesting to see the nurse-physician interaction now. It's completely different than in the old world where the nurse took the orders. Now the nurse is actually the process owner in inpatient care, and so in many cases is calling the doctor to say, "Doctor, we haven't met these criteria for moving the patient on to the next toll gate of care, so you better order this test." And that's been an interesting dynamic to deal with is these changes in roles and responsibilities. But when you see the data, which is basically 100% compliance in the quality bundles, about a 30% reduction in the total cost of care and no medication errors, even the doctors can't argue with that.
And I'm sure even with the results, when we talk about pretty radically changing roles and responsibilities, that I'm sure the change management and people side of that was still a challenge.
Well, and it still is because, this is existing in an alpha unit, and we now are spreading it to the rest of the units. And So, you know, changing the roles and responsibilities of, you know, 1,200 or 1,500 people is it's no small task. And we spend a lot of time trying to understand, you know, how you actually do that. There's been a lot of good books written, a lot of good things coming out of John Cotter and William Bridges and others. So you have to take all that. You know, lean is really about sort of managing all of the people side of things too, which really is the change stuff. And if you don't spend a lot of time on that part of it, it just doesn't work. So, you know, I think particularly in our industry where we have so many barriers to improvement. And so, you know, changing an entire culture requires a real, you know, serious commitment to really understanding the key components of change management.
Sure. One other question, I wanted to come back a little bit to what you were saying in terms of you know, preventing errors and you know, improving patient outcomes and mortality, and how you, I mean, it seems not in a bad way at all, unusual. You know, you often hear hospitals talking about productivity and you know, patient flow and labor costs, things like that. But you know, to see the impact of lean on quality and patient safety is pretty exciting. You know, looking at this, you know, I can't help but look at this from the standpoint of being a patient. You know, how exciting that is. But you know, at the same time, what do you have some thoughts on what we can do to spread results like that and the use of lean for quality and patient safety, you know, to more hospitals?
Well, I think one of the things that that I would like to see happen is that those of us that really are on the lean journey you know, more willing to share these results. You know, at DataCare for several years now, we've had the opportunity to come and visit 4 times a year, and we usually get 50 to 100 people to come to these Gembas, and we don't charge for them. And so we've really opened our, you know, pretty much anyone to come and touch and feel it. And I, you know, there's certainly others on the journey throughout the country, maybe not quite as along in the journey as we are, but certainly there's some good work being done in other places too. And so it would be helpful, I think, for everybody to be willing to share with each other. And that's certainly one of the things I'm working on now at the center, is how do we actually facilitate, you know, a network of lean practitioners to be doing that and to allow others to learn. Because I truly believe you can't learn unless you go and see and really understand what's going on. It's, you know, you don't learn this stuff by sitting in a classroom.
Right. So, you know, ThetaCare has been working with Lean and ThetaCare Improvement System for about 5 years now. You know, looking back, what are some of the most important lessons learned, and maybe, you know, more specifically from your role of having been the CEO of the hospital, what advice would you have for other hospitals, or, you know, particularly other hospital executives?
Well, I think it's important for hospital executives to, first of all, understand the journey that they're committing to. This is not a project or another, you know, fad that you can kind of, you know, do a few week-long Kaizen improvement events and think that you're doing lean. This is really about changing the culture of your organization to one of continuous improvement. That requires a significant focus. It also requires the executives to learn this themselves. And I think, you know, that's the biggest issue, is that you don't learn by sitting in your office. You learn by actually going out and participating on teams and spending time where the work is being done in the units and the ICU and the clinic or wherever. So the executives, first of all, need to learn what they don't know, and the only way to learn it is to go do it. So I think that's the number one thing is commit and then learn yourself, because as a leader you need to be able to teach, and if you don't know what you're doing, then you can't teach. I think the other lesson learned that we really did not do well, I did not do well, was communicate. I mean, that's one of the key components of change management, and I did not do that well either with physicians or our staff. So we had to kind of back up 3 years into the journey and go back and really spend a lot of time describing to people what we were doing, why we were doing it, and then also train them in terms of some of these tools, because it's very difficult to get 5,000 people on the same page by just doing rapid improvement events or Kaizen. You really need to train and explain things. And then the final thing I think for the executives is that this is a cultural change, and so you have to have a process in place to actually change the culture. But you don't know what that is until you've studied it and understand it. So the thing you need to do is go to lean companies and that's what we did in manufacturing, and really begin to understand what they're doing differently in a lean company that you versus a non-lean company. Again, this process of learning is really critical, and also the fact that it's not a project, so don't think of it that way.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important when you talk about culture change and trying to move towards a culture of continuous improvement. If you were to step back and maybe, if you will, diagnose why was there not a culture of continuous improvement, or at least not as much of one as you might have liked, either at the starting point of ThetaCare or what you hear about with other hospitals?
Well, I think that's the root cause is multifactorial. I don't think there's one cause. I think that part of it is the way we're trained. I never got 1 minute of continuous improvement training in 7 years of post college training. I didn't get 1 minute of continuous improvement. So, the training system is all based on kind of the guild. I trained with Dr. So-and-so, and he's the greatest doctor in the world, and I'm going to do it like Dr. So-and-so says, and, whether it's best practice or not, or evidence-based or not, and, what we need to do is to have a training process that is, taking continuous improvement into account, and we're actually moving toward, evidence-based performance. So part of it is training. We don't have a clue how to improve anything. Part of it is that healthcare providers are extremely competitive, and frankly, they're not very compassionate when it comes to their relationships with each other. So if you make a mistake, you're sort of considered to be defective as a person. When we know, as we've studied these mistakes, that 99% of the time they're process problems, not competency problems. So that sort of it just reinforces itself when somebody makes a mistake, and then you get blamed as a bad doctor or a bad nurse, and you develop this shame and blame culture, which then everybody kind of goes underground with their performance. They're not willing to report medication errors, and they're not willing to talk about transparency of performance. And so we have this self-reinforcing loop around no transparency, and then if you add to that no methodology for improvement, at least now at ThetaCare there's a methodology. Everybody knows that there's a ThetaCare improvement system and the purpose of it, and how to use it in some respect. And so if you don't have that, and you have all of these other things going on, it's just you can't ever break out of it.
And when you talk about going to the Gemba, I was wondering if you could share some examples of either what you learned as CEO, or trying to what you helped accomplish trying to teach other leaders throughout the organization about the importance of being on the Gemba.
Well, you know, Gemba simply means going to the place where the value is created or where the real work is done. And we as leaders get trapped in our little worlds of firefighting, and so we sit in our ivory towers thinking that we're going to, as one cardiologist told me, you know, you're at mission control and you got your hands on all the red buttons. And of course, that's not where value is being created for the customer. So if you look at it from the perspective of, do you want to influence your customer, you've got to go to the place where the value is being created for the customer, which is right on the floor in the ICU, in the patient room, in the at the clinic where the process is being delivered or the product's being delivered. So when you go to Gemba, what you do is you spend time with the frontline workers and the supervisors, and you basically ask them a series of questions. You know, what's the biggest problem on your unit? What is your what are you focusing on to try to improve that problem? What are the things that I can do to help you as a leader? Can I remove some barriers? Whenever I went to Gemba, the last question I asked was, what can I do? If there's one thing that I could do for your unit, what would that be to help you improve performance? And I would always walk away with homework. And that homework then would be what I considered to be the real work. So all the other stuff I did as CEO was just waste. The homework of trying to help those frontline workers improve their performance was my real work. And what was interesting is that it gave you a whole different view of what was important to the organization, because now I know that, you know, the nurse in the ICU is dealing with this problem with a physician, for example. So sometimes I'd have to remove physician barriers, or maybe there was a resource issue there that, you know, that we hadn't prioritized high enough. And so I'd go back, and we'd go back as senior team, and we'd say, you know, these people are really struggling over here. If we simply changed the prioritization of, you know, what we've already decided, we could really help them. And so we began to sort of start focusing on how can we really help those people that are doing the real work. And that's the power of Gemba. And then as you go along, as you learn more, you're able to teach people, you know, how to ask the right questions and how to have them solve problems rather than waiting for somebody else to solve them for them.
So it sounds like there's a real element of servant leadership encompassed in that.
Well, I think there's two schools of management. There's the Sloan School of Management, and we're all seeing the aftermath of that mess in Detroit. And then there's the Toyota School of Management. And, you know, who would you rather be working for right now? And I think that, in general, I think that's true for any people that have worked in lean companies can't work in other companies because they have, the entire management and leadership component of lean companies is just about 180 degrees different than what's being taught in most business schools today.
And was it challenging to get people to start opening up when you're asking? I mean, I could see that being intimidating because of, you know, the position you were in or other, you know, high leaders in the organization. Was it difficult to get people to open up to you about what the problems were instead of, you know, kind of hiding things or just wanting you to go away and not see?
Well, yeah, but we're the problem, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've seen the enemy, and the enemy is us. I mean, our management systems are what have created the fact that nobody's willing to share anything. I mean, I tell the story about the nurse who point blank told me that, you know, when I asked why they're doing so well with medication errors in their unit, that she point blank told me that she wasn't reporting them. And as we did the five whys on that, you know, the first one was, well, because we set up this stupid computer system that, you know, takes her 4 or 5 minutes to get into to actually report the error. But then, you know, you keep digging and you find that, you know, well, there's this shame and blame culture, and she's worried that she's going to lose her job. And then you say, well, you know, how can that be? You know, why is that? And, you know, because one of her colleagues was fired for making a medication error. And so how could that possibly happen because management doesn't have a clue about continuous improvement, because if they did, they would absolutely recognize that, you know, 99% of the medication errors are based on some, you know, poor process that's in place, not because the nurse is poorly trained or incompetent. You know, so the problem is us, and we have to change as managers if we're going to change the way the frontline workers are thinking about their work and, frankly, about management.
Looking forward, and we're going to talk in our next conversation about your new role at the Theta Care Center for Healthcare Value. But looking back at the hospital, what do you think the most important next steps are for Theta Care, you know, Lean in Theta Care under your successor, the new CEO?
Well, the most important thing is that he understood it as well as I do, and he reported to me for some 20 years, and he actually does understand it better than I do. So that's the most important thing. But I think that the real challenge now at Theta Care is we've been really good at doing planning, doing and studying, but we don't do very good at the acting part. And so what we need to do is really build that standard work, make sure that it's being applied, and then improving it. And I think that any company that's on the lean journey constantly struggles, especially in healthcare, with this, you know, applying standard work to the regular workday, and then making sure that it actually is being applied, and then having every one of our employees understand how to continuously improve the process, so that you've got 5,000 improvement experts out there working the system every day, and you're implementing many of the suggestions that those 5,000 people are actually making every day for improvement. So, you know, this is it's a journey. It's, you know, we graduated from first grade last week, and there's a lot more to learn from great companies like Danaher and Toyota and Autoliv and others. And, you know, that's going to be the next 10 years of work is continually learning and trying to apply these principles.
Well, that's very true. We're all learning, and I appreciate you sharing some of what you've learned for our listeners, and thank you especially for, you know, the leadership role you're taking and helping spread improvement of, you know, the quality of healthcare through lean and through other methods. I really appreciate that, and appreciate you taking some time to talk with us today.
Thanks a lot, Mark. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Lean Blog Podcast. For lean news and commentary updated daily, visit www.leanblog.org. If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, email Mark at leanpodcast@gmail.com.